There's a dragon who lives in Killerton Hill. The story's been told about him for hundreds, maybe thousands of years. Sometimes he lives in Killerton Hill. Sometimes he lives in Cadbury Hill. And he guards a very great treasure. Now, the thing about the dragon is he likes to look out of the hill, whichever one it is that he's in. And he finds little holes, little places in the hill, maybe a puddle, maybe a gnarled piece of wood with a hole in it, maybe a little pool of water. And out of that place, he looks with his great dragon eye, and he watches. And for a long, long time, that dragon has been watching the world changing around him. He sits, his body all coiled up inside the hill, guarding his treasure. Now, it was one afternoon quite recently when the dragon was looking out of the hill, as he always does, when he saw walking up the hill was a woman. This was nothing unusual. There was a brightness about the woman. This was nothing unusual. But there was something inside the body of the woman was a little unusual. And the dragon, who was able to see not only the outside of people but also the inside of them, the dragon looked more closely. Ah, the dragon could see that this was a clever woman. She was what modern people call a scientist, but that meant nothing to the dragon. What the dragon could see was that in the woman's heart, she had a love of the water. The dragon could see that the woman loved the rivers, and particularly the Calm River. The dragon could see that the woman had an understanding that once the river, the Calm River, had been crystal clear and full of trout, and that once there had been not just a river, deep cut and running too fast, but that the river had been spacious, expansive, and spread out across the landscape, flooding and making pools and ponds and meadows, filling up wells with crystal clear water. But there had been a great many animals and creatures that had once lived along beside the river. It was as if the woman knew this had happened, or as if she knew it would happen. Somehow the past and the present were blurred in the body of this woman as the dragon looked into her. That was the trouble with being a dragon. You couldn't always distinguish the past from the present. Time was just like water to the dragon, twisting and turning and never still. Ah, oh. Looking at the woman reminded the dragon of the ladies of the waters. The dragon smiled there in his hill, how he had loved the ladies of the waters, and how the ladies of the waters had loved him. Then the dragon remembered one of the warriors. There had been a great many warriors, you see, living up there on Cadbury Hill and Killerton Hill, on the two hills, long, long ago, of course. These warriors, they had great matted beards and matted hair and muscles and eyes as bright as the eyes of tigers. And these warriors, they loved the land. And this particular warrior, the one that the dragon was thinking of, when he first arrived with the tribesmen, because that's what they were, ancient tribesmen of these lands, and the other kings and tribesmen, they'd said to him, go down to the river and call on the ladies of the waters. They'll come and play with you. So he'd gone down to the river and he'd sat on the riverbank and he'd called out, ladies of the waters, come and play with me. Up out of the water came a woman, very short hair, and in what she called a dress, but in fact it was more like what we'd call a wetsuit. And she walked across to him, all gleaming and shining, her eyes like the eyes of a wild cat, completely untamable. "What do you want to play?" she said. "That's for you to choose, lady," said the warrior. And then she started to sing in an extraordinary language, and a song which maybe went something like, "Inu nana hiya ho, inu nunu hina ho, inu nunu hina ho," and then changed and went on to lots and lots of other things which I couldn't possibly sing. But the warrior, he did his best to sing the song back to her. You could have a go at singing the song back to me if you like. "Inu nunu nana ho, inu nunu nana ho, inu nunu nana ho." And it's lucky I can't tell you the rest of the song, because if I did tell you the rest of the song, and if I did show you the dance that she showed him, then you might experience what he experienced was a sensation that his skull was shrinking down, getting smaller and smaller, and his body was becoming all covered over in fur. And when he looked around, he saw that there was not a woman standing next to him, but an otter. And his body too had turned into the body of an otter. "Come on," she said, "let's play." And she dived into the crystal clear water of the River Calm. And he followed after her, and they swam. Ah, the joy of swimming in an otter's body. It was so much fun. They swam up and down with wonderfully powerful tails, and they snatched up golden trout in their mouths, and they crunched up the bones with their teeth. This was what the ladies of the waters could do. They could teach you to turn yourself into whatever animal or creature they chose. Sometimes at night, the kings, the warriors, they would sit around and they would talk about the adventures they had had with the ladies of the waters. Some of them had turned into kingfishers, or even migratory birds that had flown far, far away and been gone for a year and then come back again. The adventures they'd had, the tales they told. There was one of the warriors, his name was Geraint, and he had had a great and mysterious adventure with one of the ladies of the waters, who had turned herself into a deer and taught him how to be a stag. That was another story. And the story that he told, it went on all long into the night. So there isn't time for me to tell it to you now, but only to tell you that Geraint and this lady of the waters, whose name was Ilud or Inud, that they loved each other very, very much. Well, this was how it was, and the love between the warriors and the ladies of the waters, it grew and it swelled in these men's breasts with a great pride and joy. And this pride and joy made them more and more determined that they would defend this land and all of the animals from the terribly destructive powers that were sweeping in and through and across the lands. But one evening, a little boat came up the River Calm. And out of the boat came a terribly wounded man who the ladies of the waters healed. And when he found his way up to the house of the kings and he told his tale, he shook his head and he said, "There are too many of them. There is nothing that you can do, even you, great warriors of these lands. They will overwhelm you. And a great amount of this land will be destroyed. And nearly all the creatures will be destroyed." And more, he went on with his prophecy. This man who was completely blind, and although the ladies of the waters had great healing skills, couldn't heal his blindness, because what he saw was too much. When the warriors, the kings, heard this story and these prophecies, they stamped their feet and they shouted and they cried great rivers of tears. And the tears rolled down the hills and into the river Calm, where the ladies of the waters caught them up in little vials that they wore around their necks. And the passion and the fury of the kings, they said, "This cannot be so. It cannot be that all of this and all these stories will be lost." And they started to stamp their feet in a dance and they started to sing a great furious song. And the passion of their song flew out of their hearts and into the river Calm. And the ladies of the waters caught these up too and put them into little vials alongside with tears. And then the ladies of the waters started to cry as well. And the waters rose up. And the waters rose up so high that there was nothing left in this landscape except those two hills, Cadbury and Killerton. And then the kings, they came down to the edges of the little islands where they were. They said, "Ladies of the waters, fairy women of these lands, what are we to do?" And up came the heads out of the water one by one. And the fairy women, they said, "There is only one thing that you can do. For the numbers of people who are pouring into this land, they are too many. As individuals, you can't fight. You can't protect the land and you can't protect us. But as one body, you can at least protect a treasure." "We will do it," said one of the men. And the others agreed and the shout came up. "Yes, yes, yes." Then the ladies of the waters began to turn themselves into fish. And they swam in a great figure of eight between Killerton and Cadbury Hill. And then they began to turn their upper bodies back into women, but their lower bodies remained as fish. And they began to sing a strong song. "Hey, a natula mama, ay, ho. Hey, ola chula mana, lai, la, lu." And the song went on, and the king started to sing the song with them. "Hey, ola chulu mana, lai, la, lu." And the song rose. "Hey, la ma chulu mana, hey, la, chu." And the song rose, and the song rose up. Till each of the kings, each of the warriors, burst into flames. There on each hill there was a great many flames burning, as one by one the warriors were transformed into fires. And then the fires began to join up all together until they became a snake of fire. And then the snake of fire on Killerton Hill began to twist and turn and reach for the snake of fire on Cadbury Hill. And the two snakes, they met one another just there over where the river flows down in the valley underneath. And the snake of fire, it twisted and it turned in a great figure of eight. And then all the birds came up from the valley and they beat their wings. And the fire began to smooth. There were starlings and thrushes and robins, and a great many doves and pigeons came too. And then the snake of fire began to grow a snout and wings and claws with long, sharp nails. And the snake of fire, made up of the bodies of all those warriors, it had become a dragon. and the dragon came to rest there on Killerton Hill. And he went down to the water's edge and he roared to the ladies of the waters, "What is the treasure?" "The treasure you have to guard," said the ladies of the waters, with tears pouring down their faces. "The treasure, dear dragon, that you must guard is the treasure of all the stories, the memories of this land and the animals and the slow flowing river and everything as it has been in your memory. Guard that treasure, for there will come a time when the memory of this and more is needed." And then the ladies of the waters, they dived down into the waters. And the dragon, he coiled himself up inside the hill. And the waters shrank back down to the place where the river flowed. And it said that the ladies of the waters, the ladies of the lakes and of the pools and the ponds, they continued to live there for quite some time until the waters became too dirty and the pools and the ponds were all cleared and tidied away. And so many of the animals were hunted to extinction or killed because they had lost their homes. And then the ladies of the waters went somewhere else. And in this moment, in this modern time, now, as the dragon saw the woman walking up Killerton Hill, he remembered all of this. And then in that moment, he wondered, was it possible? Was it possible that this modern woman could bring back all of the river as it had been? A beautiful environment where the ladies of the waters might return, where the waters were crystal clear and full of golden trout, where there were pathways that people could walk along and enjoy the river, where children could play and even be taught down by the river as they used to be in the dragon's day. And maybe even it might be possible that modern people might start building houses with grass and vegetables and herbs growing on the roofs, just as the warriors had done all those years before. And that night, the dragon had a wonderful dream. He dreamt that this was true, that this was really going to happen. And in his dream, he stretched out his great long claws and he scratched out pools and ponds for the river water to pour into, to encourage the ladies of the waters to come back. And when the dragon woke up in the morning, the pools and the ponds, they were there. Not just in his dream, but in reality. "Maybe they will come back," thought the dragon, the fairy women, the ladies of the waters, of the lakes, of the pools and the marshes, the meadows and the ancient wells. "Maybe they will come back."